All right, so you sent over some really fascinating stuff on mindfulness and stress reduction this time.
Yeah.
Lots on that stress reduction clinic and the book Full Catastrophe Living by Jon Kabat-Zinn. Ready for a deep dive into this?
Absolutely, I'm ready.
Okay, great.
Yeah, when I was looking through all this, the thing that really jumped out at me was that the stress reduction clinic
Okay.
at UMass Medical Center, it's not really about like curing diseases or anything. It
Right.
seems to be more about giving people tools,
Okay.
through things like meditation and yoga to deal with stress, pain, and illness that are just like part of life.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it seems like Full Catastrophe Living is sort of their guidebook for that, right? It's really interesting. We've got like quotes in here from actual medical professionals at UMass Medical School who have seen the program in action, like Dr. Joseph Alpert. He's director of cardiovascular medicine there. And he's quoted as saying the program's usefulness cannot be overestimated. And then there's Dr. John J. Monahan from Orthopedics, who's been recommending it to his patients for over a decade. So clearly, this is making some waves in the medical world.
Definitely.
But before we get too far into it, I think we need to define some terms here. Because what exactly is mindfulness? You know, I feel like that word gets thrown around a lot. But I'm not sure everyone really knows what it means.
It's definitely become like a buzzword. But I think at its core, mindfulness is really about paying attention to the present moment without judgment. So it's like observing your breath, your body, your thoughts, emotions as they come up without getting like swept away by them.
Okay, so you're not supposed to react to those things. You're just supposed to observe them.
Yeah, you're trying to cultivate a sense of awareness, almost like you're a detached observer.
Okay, I think I'm starting to understand. So instead of just being on autopilot and reacting to everything, you're saying we should try to step back and just notice what's happening. But how does that actually help with stress?
Well, I think that's the big question, right? You see, when we're mindful, we can actually break free from those habitual reactions that often lead to stress. A lot of times, those reactions are unconscious. We're not even aware we're doing it. So mindfulness helps us create a space where we have a choice in how we respond to things.
So we're not just reacting mindlessly. We're actually choosing how we want to respond. You know, this reminds me of the book's title, Full Catastrophe Living. At first glance, it sounds kind of
Yeah,
negative.
I
Like,
know.
who wants to live a full catastrophe? But I'm guessing there's more to it than that.
Yeah, definitely. It's actually a really positive concept. It comes from a character named Zorba the Greek, who is known for embracing all of life's ups and downs.
So it's not about focusing on the negative. It's about accepting everything.
The book isn't about dwelling on negativity.
Got
It's
it.
about acknowledging and embracing the full spectrum of life experiences, the good, the bad, everything.
So it's like a guide to navigating all of that with more awareness. I like that. So how do they actually teach you to do that at the stress reduction clinic?
Well, they focus on several key practices. One is sitting meditation, where you concentrate on your breath and observe your thoughts without getting carried away by them.
So just notice them as they come and go. What
So
else?
there's the body scan.
I've heard of that.
It's where you systematically bring your attention to different parts of your body,
Okay.
noticing any sensations you feel without judgment.
Interesting. And that's supposed to help reduce stress.
And of course, there's yoga, which combines mindful movement with breath awareness.
It seems like all these practices are about tuning into the present moment and observing our experiences without judging them. But I'm curious, what is it about these practices that actually helps to reduce stress?
I think to answer that, we need to understand stress itself. One of the leading stress researchers, Hans Seely, he viewed stress as a natural part of life, even an essential part of life.
Interesting.
His work shows that it's not necessarily the events themselves that cause a stress, but our perception and reaction to them.
So it's not about eliminating stress entirely, because let's be honest, that's probably impossible. It's more about changing how we relate to stress. We often get caught in this stress reaction cycle, you know, the fight or flight response. It's like our body's natural response to a perceived threat. But when that becomes our default mode, it starts to really impact our health.
Definitely both mental and physical health.
But isn't some level of stress just unavoidable?
Probably.
I mean, we've got deadlines, responsibilities.
Yeah.
Unexpected challenges.
Yeah.
Life is full of those things.
It is.
So how does mindfulness help us manage those inevitable stressors?
Well, mindfulness gives us the ability to choose our response.
Okay.
Instead of just being ruled by that automatic reaction.
Okay.
Which is often not helpful.
So we're not trying to get rid of stress completely. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to shift from that fight or flight mode to a state of mindful awareness.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
One of the things I found really interesting in the material you sent was this idea of the power of perspective.
Oh, yeah.
You know how our thoughts and beliefs can actually shape our experience of stress?
Absolutely. That's a crucial piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
The way we interpret things, the stories we tell ourselves,
right,
can either amplify or diminish our stress levels.
And there were some really compelling examples of that in the readings.
Yeah.
Like, remember that nine-dot problem?
Oh, yeah, the classic one.
It shows how our habitual ways of thinking can really limit us.
Yeah, most people struggle with that puzzle because they unconsciously limit themselves to staying within the square formed by the dots.
And the solution requires you to think outside the box.
Literally.
Yeah, it really made me realize how easily we get stuck in those thought patterns. And then there was that story about Dr. Lon's patient.
Oh, yeah, that one was powerful.
It's a really striking example of how much our beliefs can impact our reality.
Right. She misinterpreted a medical term and became convinced she was going to die.
And that belief triggered such a strong stress reaction that she actually did die.
Even though it was based on a misunderstanding.
It's crazy how powerful that mind-body connection can be.
It really is. And that's where mindfulness comes in.
Okay.
It helps us become aware of those thoughts and beliefs.
Okay. So we can see them for what they are.
Yeah. Just thoughts.
Not necessarily facts.
Right.
And that gives us the power to choose more helpful perspectives.
Exactly. We're not controlled by those automatic reactions anymore.
So it's not about pretending everything's perfect.
No.
Or suppressing our thoughts.
It's about creating space.
Okay.
To examine our thoughts, to question them, and ultimately to choose how we want to respond to them.
I like that. That's a really empowering way to think about it.
It is. And this shift in perspective can have a huge impact on our experience of stress.
So we've talked about the theory behind mindfulness and how it connects to stress reduction, but how does this actually work in real life?
Right,
like how can we take these concepts and apply them to our own lives?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the book is full of stories about people who transform their lives through mindfulness, like that firefighter,
right, Greg?
What was his story again?
So Greg developed really severe anxiety
after
a traumatic experience where he was overcome by smoke.
Oh wow.
In a burning building.
Yeah.
And it led to this really debilitating fear of putting on his gas mask.
So he couldn't even do his job anymore.
Right. It was preventing him from working.
It's amazing how a single event can have such a ripple effect.
It really is. But the cool thing is, through the stress reduction clinic, Greg learned to work with his breathing.
Okay.
Using mindfulness techniques.
And that helped him manage his anxiety.
Yeah. It helped him regain a sense of control.
That's incredible.
And eventually he was able to go back to work.
Wow. That's really inspiring.
It is. There's so many stories like that.
Yeah, like Mary's story.
Oh, yeah, Mary.
She found relief from chronic pain through the body scan meditation.
Yeah. She had been struggling with pain for years.
Wow.
And nothing seemed to help. Mm-hmm. She even had surgery.
And that didn't even work.
Nope, but through the body scan,
she
learned to connect with her body in a whole new way.
Interesting.
Just noticing sensations without judgment.
And that helped her pain.
Yeah, it's fascinating, right?
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just about relaxing or distracting yourself.
No.
There was something deeper going on.
Exactly. It turned out that Mary had been suppressing a traumatic experience from her childhood.
Wow.
And through the body scan, she was able to access and process those buried emotions.
So the body scan wasn't just about physical relaxation.
Right.
It became a pathway to emotional healing.
Exactly. And Mary wasn't alone.
Really?
Other patients at the clinic reported similar experiences of connecting with and processing past trauma.
Through the body scan.
Yeah. It suggests that for many people, The body holds on to experiences and emotions that we may have consciously forgotten.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. It's like our bodies are trying to communicate with us.
And mindfulness gives us a way to listen.
I love that. That's a beautiful way to put it.
This idea of wholeness comes up a lot in Kabat-Zinn's work.
Yes, it does. But it's interesting that he doesn't shy away from the full catastrophe either.
No, he doesn't. It's not about achieving some perfect state of bliss.
Right.
It's about embracing the entirety of life.
Exactly. And that's what makes his approach so compelling. Mm-hmm. He acknowledges that life is full of challenges, that pain and suffering are inevitable.
Right.
But he also emphasizes our capacity for resilience and healing.
And a key part of cultivating that resilience seems to be shifting our perspective.
Absolutely.
We talked about the power of our thoughts and beliefs, mm-hmm. but the readings also discuss the importance of reframing our relationship with time.
Yes. We often get so caught up
yeah.
in the past,
right.
rehashing old hurts or worrying about the future,
mm-hmm.
anticipating potential problems.
Yeah, and all that takes us away from the present moment.
Exactly.
It was the only moment we actually have control over.
That reminds me of that T.S. Eliot quote.
Oh, yeah.
Time pass and time future allow, but a little consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
To be conscious is not to be in time.
It's like he's talking about the power of being present.
Yes. Of fully inhabiting the now.
And that's the essence of mindfulness, isn't it?
It really is. To be fully conscious, fully present,
yeah.
beyond the constraints of past and future.
And that shift in perspective can really change how we experience stress.
Absolutely.
So it's not about denying the past.
No.
Or ignoring the future.
It's about recognizing that our power lies in the present moment.
Okay.
And mindfulness gives us a way to access that power.
This all sounds incredibly empowering.
It is.
But I imagine it also takes a lot of effort and dedication.
It does. It's like any new skill.
Yeah.
Mindfulness takes time and practice to develop.
Especially in our world today.
Right.
Everything's so fast-paced.
Yeah.
And there were distractions everywhere.
It's true. We're constantly bombarded with information.
Yeah.
Stimulation demands on our attention.
It's no wonder our minds wander so much.
Yeah. One of the biggest challenges is just learning to tame that mental chatter.
And her attention back to the present moment.
Exactly. It's like we're so used to being on autopilot
mm-hmm.
that we've forgotten how to simply be.
And I imagine there's also a lot of resistance.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
To practicing mindfulness.
We might resist because it feels uncomfortable. Or unfamiliar.
Yeah.
Or we might resist the feelings that come up.
When we slow down and pay attention.
Yeah. Difficult emotions.
Like sadness or anger.
Yeah. Or fear.
Those can be hard to face.
They can. And it's tempting to push them away.
So mindfulness isn't always about feeling good.
No.
Or achieving a sense of calm.
Not necessarily. It's about cultivating a willingness.
Okay.
To be present with whatever arises.
Even the uncomfortable stuff.
Even the uncomfortable
stuff. Because all experiences are impermanent.
Right.
They're all part of life.
Exactly. It's like a journey of self-discovery.
Learning to befriend ourselves.
Yeah. And all parts of our experience.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
It is. And it's a journey that requires patience. Mm-hmm. Compassion and a willingness to embrace the full catastrophe of being human.
Okay. So we've talked about the benefits of mindfulness
mm-hmm.
and the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen how it can help us manage stress,
yeah.
reduce pain,
right.
heal old wounds.
And even shift our relationship with time.
But what about the practicalities?
Okay.
How can our listeners get started with this?
Yeah.
Do they need to go to a special class?
Not necessarily.
Or can they practice on their own?
The beauty of mindfulness is that it's accessible to anyone,
okay.
anywhere, anytime.
So you don't need any special equipment
yeah.
or training?
Yep.
You can just start practicing?
Right.
What would you recommend for someone who's just starting out?
Well, guided instruction can be helpful.
Okay.
Especially in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need it.
You could start with just a few minutes of sitting meditation each day.
Yeah, focusing on your breath.
Okay.
Or you could try a body scan,
mm-hmm.
either lying down or sitting in a chair.
And there are also lots of resources available.
Yeah, tons of books and websites.
Including Jon Kabat-Zinn's Full Catastrophe Living.
Of course.
Which has detailed instructions on all these practices.
Yeah.
That's great to know. So it's really about finding what works for you
mm-hmm.
and starting where you are.
Exactly. You don't have to be perfect.
But what about people who are hesitant to try these practices?
Okay.
What would you say to someone who thinks mindfulness is just not for them?
I understand that hesitation.
Yeah.
It can seem intimidating at first
right.
or even a bit mystical.
Yeah.
But at its core, mindfulness is really about cultivating a quality of attention
okay.
that we all already possess.
We all have that ability.
Yeah, it's about noticing what's happening.
Okay.
Both inside us and around us with more awareness.
And clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone can do that.
Okay.
Even just taking a few mindful breaths.
Throughout the day.
Yeah, that can make a difference.
So it's about incorporating small moments of mindfulness
right.
into our everyday lives.
Exactly. And the more we practice,
the more natural it becomes.
Okay.
It's like strengthening a muscle with consistent effort.
Mm-hmm.
We develop our capacity for presence.
Okay.
For awareness.
And for responding to life's challenges.
With more skill and ease.
I like that. Speaking of those challenges,
mm-hmm.
let's talk about some of the specific benefits people have experienced through mindfulness.
We've already touched on some of the individual stories.
Right, from the clinic.
But what does the research say about the broader impact of mindfulness on our health and well-being?
Exactly.
Well, the research on mindfulness has really exploded in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
And the evidence is mounting that these practices can have a profound impact on both our mental and physical health.
Like what specifically?
Studies have shown that mindfulness can help reduce stress, anxiety, and depression.
Wow.
It can also improve sleep quality.
That's great.
Boost the immune system.
Really?
And even reduce chronic pain. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Are there any particular conditions where mindfulness has been shown to be especially effective?
Mindfulness-based interventions have been used successfully for a wide range of conditions.
Like what?
Chronic pain.
Okay.
Heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer, autoimmune disorders.
Wow. So it's not just about treating illness.
No.
It's about enhancing our overall well-being.
Exactly. Mindfulness can be a preventative measure, helping us build resilience and cope more effectively with life's inevitable stressors.
But let's be honest.
Yeah.
The world we live in often feels like one giant stressor.
It does.
We're constantly bombarded with information.
Yes.
News demands on our attention.
It can be overwhelming.
It really can.
And that brings us back to the concept of world stress.
Okay, can you elaborate on what that means?
Sure.
And how mindfulness can help us navigate these challenges?
Yeah, world stress encompasses the global challenges we face.
Okay.
Things like climate change,
right.
political instability, economic inequality, social unrest, you name it.
It's like the collective anxiety of the planet is seeping into our individual lives.
Exactly. And it's easy to feel overwhelmed by it all.
Yeah, you can feel kind of powerless.
Right. We might feel tempted to retreat,
mm-hmm.
to numb ourselves out with distractions.
Yeah.
Or to just give up hope.
But that's where mindfulness comes in.
Exactly. Mindfulness offers a way to engage with these challenges without being consumed by them.
Okay.
It helps us cultivate a sense of presence, stability,
and clarity.
Yeah, amidst all the chaos.
So it's not about ignoring the problems.
Right.
It's about facing them with more awareness.
And resilience.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
But how do we cultivate that sense of agency?
Good question.
How do we move from feeling powerless to feeling empowered?
It starts by connecting with our own inner resources.
Okay.
Our values, our strengths,
mm-hmm.
our capacity for compassion and action.
Okay.
Mindfulness helps us tap into those resources.
So we can see more clearly what matters most to us. And then act in alignment with our values.
Exactly. We move from a state of reaction to a state of conscious response.
Which brings us back to the book's title.
Yes.
The idea of embracing the full catastrophe.
Can you talk more about what that means and how it relates to mindfulness?
Exactly.
Sure. The full catastrophe is a metaphor for the totality of life experience.
Yeah.
The joys, the sorrows, the triumphs, and the tragedies.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that life isn't always easy.
Yeah.
That there will be times of pain and suffering.
But those experiences are also part of life.
Exactly.
So it's about accepting the full spectrum of human experience.
The good, the bad, and everything in between.
And mindfulness helps us do that.
It does. It cultivates a capacity for presence,
mm-hmm.
acceptance,
and non-judgment.
Which allows us to meet all of life's experiences with more equanimity.
And grace.
It's like we're learning to ride the waves of life.
Instead of being tossed around by them.
I love that analogy.
We're developing inner stability and resilience that allows us to navigate the ups and downs of life.
With more skill.
And ease.
You know, one thing that really stood out to me in the readings was that mindfulness isn't presented as some kind of quick fix.
Oh, yeah.
Or magic bullet.
Right. It's more of a practice.
It is.
A way of life that unfolds over time.
Right. Mindfulness is about cultivating a new way of being in the world.
Rather than just learning a set of techniques.
Exactly. It's about shifting our fundamental relationship to our experiences, learning to meet each moment with more awareness and acceptance.
And that brings us back to those amazing stories from the stress reduction clinic.
Yes.
It seems like the people who went through that program didn't just learn techniques.
Right.
They underwent a real transformation.
In how they viewed themselves and the world.
Exactly. The clinic's approach goes beyond just teaching meditation or yoga.
Right. They create the supportive environment where people can really explore their inner world, develop self-compassion, and cultivate a deeper understanding of their own minds and bodies.
It sounds like a process of uncovering our own innate capacity for healing.
Yeah, and resilience.
And that's something we all have access to.
Absolutely, regardless of our background or circumstances.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
From the basic principles of mindfulness to its implications for individual and collective well-being.
Yeah.
But let's bring it back to our listeners.
Okay.
What's the key takeaway here?
What can they do to start integrating mindfulness into their own lives?
Well, the first step is simply to start paying attention.
Okay.
Notice your breath, your bodies, your thoughts, and your emotions.
Okay.
Notice how you react to stress, to pain, to challenges.
The more aware we become of our own patterns,
the more choice we have
and
how we respond.
So it's about cultivating that awareness.
Yeah.
Almost like a beginner's mind.
Right.
Seeing the world anew. Exactly. And as we practice, we start to develop a deeper understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
And we discover this wellspring of inner peace and resilience.
It's always available.
No matter what challenges we face.
Exactly.
It's like we're coming home to ourselves, to that place of presence and wholeness.
That's always been there.
But with so much going on in the world,
of
all the world stress we talked about, it can be hard to find that quiet space within.
I know what you mean. We're constantly bombarded with information, stimulation, and often really alarming news.
It's easy to get caught up in that cycle of reactivity.
Feeling helpless and overwhelmed.
But that's where mindfulness can be so transformative.
It is. It allows us to step back from all the noise, to create a space of inner stillness.
Amidst all the chaos.
And then we can choose how we want to respond.
So it's not about ignoring the problems of the world. It's about showing up with more awareness and presence.
Even when things are difficult.
Exactly. It's about cultivating a sense of clarity and perspective.
So we can engage with the world in a more skillful and compassionate way.
You know, one of the things that really struck me in the readings was this idea of tuning the instrument.
Oh, yeah.
Kabat-Zinn uses that metaphor to describe cultivating mindfulness.
I love that metaphor.
Yeah.
Our minds are like instruments that need to be tuned regularly.
And if we neglect that tuning,
the music we produce will be discordant.
Right out of harmony.
But when we take the time to tune the instrument, to cultivate mindfulness,
when we create the conditions for a more harmonious life.
And that harmony extends beyond the individual.
Yeah, yeah.
When we tune our own instruments,
right,
we contribute to a more harmonious world.
It's like a ripple effect.
Exactly. As we cultivate inner peace and clarity, it radiates outward.
Influencing our relationships, our communities.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the world around us.
So mindfulness isn't just about self-improvement.
Right.
It's about contributing to a more peaceful and compassionate world.
And that's why it's so important to make this practice accessible to everyone.
Absolutely.
It's like we're planting seeds of awareness.
Yeah, seeds that have the potential to blossom into a more beautiful and just world.
And those seeds can be planted anywhere.
Right.
Anytime.
Doesn't require a retreat center or a meditation cushion.
Yeah, you can do it while walking the dog, doing the dishes.
Commuting to work.
It's about bringing that mindfulness
awareness
into everything we do.
Exactly. And as we practice, we start to see that mindfulness isn't just a technique or a set of exercises.
Right.
It's a way of being.
Right.
A way of relating to ourselves and the world with more presence, compassion, and wisdom.
And that way of being can be so empowering.
It can.
It gives us the tools we need to navigate the full catastrophe of life.
With more grace and ease.
To connect more deeply with ourselves.
Than others.
And to create a world that's more in line with our values and aspirations.
You said it perfectly. And if there's one thing I hope listeners take away from this deep dive, it's that mindfulness isn't some mystical practice reserved for monks or gurus.
Yeah.
It's a practical, accessible tool for anyone who wants to live a more present, purposefully life.
And it all starts with that simple act of paying attention.
Kabat-Zinn talks about this inherent wholeness within each of us, even amidst the full catastrophe. What does that idea of wholeness mean to you?
That's a great question.
How can cultivating mindfulness help you connect to that sense of wholeness in your own life?
I think that's something for all of us to think about.
And if you're looking for more guidance on your mindfulness journey, you might want to check out the Insight Meditation Society.
That's a good one.
Or experiment with some of the exercises in the appendix of Full Catastrophe Living. Yeah, that's a great resource.
Until next time, keep diving deep.
And keep paying attention. Or a set of exercises.
Right. It's more like a way of being in the world.
Yeah. It's about shifting our fundamental relationship to our experiences. You know, learning to meet each moment with more awareness and acceptance.
This brings us back to all those incredible stories from the stress reduction clinic.
Yes.
You know, it seems like the people who went through that program, they didn't just learn some techniques.
Right.
They really went through a transformation.
Yes, they did.
In how they saw themselves and the world.
The clinic's approach goes beyond just teaching like meditation or yoga postures.
Yeah.
It creates this really supportive environment where people can explore their inner landscapes, develop self-compassion, and cultivate a deeper understanding of their own minds and bodies.
It sounds like a process of uncovering our own capacity for healing and resilience.
I think that's a great way to put it.
And what's so amazing is that this capacity is available to everyone.
It is.
No matter who you are or what your circumstances are.
Everyone.
Okay, so we've covered a lot here.
We have.
From the basic principles of mindfulness to its impact on well-being.
Both individual and collective.
Right. But let's bring it back to our listeners.
Okay.
What's the key takeaway for them?
Yeah, what can they do?
To start incorporating this into their lives.
Well, I think the first step is to just start paying attention.
Okay.
Notice your breath, your body, your thoughts. Your emotions.
Yeah.
Just notice how you react to stress, to pain, to challenges.
The more aware we become of our own patterns, the more choices we have.
Exactly.
And how we respond.
It's about cultivating that awareness, like a beginner's mind.
Seeing everything with fresh eyes.
Yeah. As if you're seeing the world for the first time.
And as we practice, we start to develop a deeper understanding
of ourselves and the world.
Yeah. And we discover this wellspring of inner peace and resilience.
That's always there.
It's like we're coming home to ourselves.
To that place of presence and wholeness.
Yeah, but with everything going on in the world.
I know.
All the world stress we talked about.
It can be hard.
To find that quiet space inside.
It can. We're constantly bombarded with information.
Yeah.
Stimulation.
And a lot of it is really negative.
Yeah. It's easy to get caught up in that.
And feel helpless.
Or overwhelmed.
But that's where mindfulness can be so helpful.
Yeah, it allows us to step back from all that noise.
Okay.
To create a space of inner stillness.
Even in the middle of all the chaos.
Exactly. And then we can choose how we want to respond.
So it's not about ignoring the world's problems.
No.
It's about showing up.
Yeah.
With more awareness and presence.
Even when things are tough.
It's about cultivating clarity.
And perspective.
So we can engage with the world.
In a more skillful and compassionate way.
Remember that idea of tuning the instrument?
Oh, yeah.
Kabat-Zinn talks about that.
He does.
As a way to describe cultivating mindfulness.
Our minds are like instruments that need to be tuned regularly.
Right. And if we don't tune them.
The music we make is going to be.
Discordant.
Out of tune.
But when we do tune the instrument.
When we cultivate mindfulness.
Yeah.
We create the conditions for. A more harmonious life.
And that harmony extends outward.
It does.
From us to our relationship.
To our community.
To the world.
It's like a ripple effect.
As we cultivate inner peace.
It radiates outward.
So mindfulness is not just about self-improvement.
No, it's not.
It's also about making the world a better place.
It's about creating a more peaceful and compassionate world.
And that's why it's so important for everyone to have access to this practice.
I agree.
It's like planting seeds of awareness that can grow into something beautiful.
A more just world.
And those seeds can be planted anywhere.
They can.
It doesn't have to be in some special place.
No, you can practice mindfulness anywhere.
You can do it while you're walking the dog.
Yeah.
Or washing the dishes.
Or even just waiting in line at the grocery store.
It's about bringing that quality of awareness.
Into everything we do.
And the more we practice,
the more natural it becomes.
It's like we're training our minds
to be more present,
to be more aware,
and to respond to life's challenges with more skill and wisdom.
You know, Kabat-Zinn talks about this inherent wholeness.
Yes.
That exists within each of us.
Even in the midst of all the chaos and difficulty.
The full catastrophe.
Exactly.
What does that idea of wholeness mean to you?
That's a really good question.
How can cultivating mindfulness help you connect with that sense of wholeness in your own life?
I think that's something worth exploring.
It is. And if you're looking for guidance on that journey,
yeah,
you might want to check out the Insight Meditation Society.
That's a great resource.
Or try some of the exercises in the appendix of Full Catastrophe Living.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there.
Until next time, keep diving deep and keep paying attention.